Hello, everybody. That's even better. It is absolutely fantastic to be with you at Letton Hall. I absolutely, absolutely love Letton Hall. I've been here many times. I think it's an amazing place. So it is really, really, really nice to be back here with you. I was going to start by telling you how I got my name, Cheds, and we've already done that. So we can skip that little bit to start off with. I'll tell you a couple of things about myself. I go to Life Church in Peterborough. Yay, there's a few of us here. And I work for Crops, as you know. And I've brought my family with me this week. You may have seen them around. I brought Hannah, my wife, Sienna, my little girl who's 5 months old, and my boys, Zach, who's 9, and Jack Noah, who is 6. So they are really excited about being here, and thank you ever so much for making us all welcome. Please do chat to them. They would love to chat to you and get to know you this week. If you know anything at all about football, please do chat to my boys, and they'll be the happiest people in the world. What you speak to Sienna about, I've got no idea, because she's like 5 months old, and I know what to talk to her about. Talk to Hannah about shopping. I don't know. Whatever you do. But thank you very much, Matt, for inviting us all. It's brilliant to be here. So this week, we're looking at the whole subject of God being on our side. And when I say God is on our side, I mean that God is for us and not against us. That he adores us and that he is rooting for our lives to be full of all the things that are good for us. I mean, God is going out of his way day to day in your life to be on your side. And I want to be really upfront with you right from the very start about why I want you to know how much God is on your side. And that is because this week I would love you to be completely and utterly blown away by God's character this week. Who God is. If you leave this place in 4 days' time, stunned at just how awesome God is, gobsmacked about how passionate he is for you, then I will leave a happy person. So we're looking at God being for us and not against us. God having our back, God being in our corner, God fighting for us, which is amazing. But there may be some people here tonight thinking, I kind of already knew that God had my back. I already knew that God was for me and not against me. It says it in the Bible. And if that's true, then I would love you to join me on a journey of discovering how that's going to affect the rest of our lives. Because if we can really get a hold of how much God is for us, then I believe we can never be the same again. There is a whole world of people out there, both Christians and non-Christians, who haven't quite got an accurate picture of God yet. They've got a perspective of him that is wrong. And I would love by the end of a week for you to be able to help me educate them. There's a whole world of people who view God a little bit like this. An old man in the sky waiting to press that button of doom. They live in fear of a God who is out to get them, waiting to press that button. A God who's mad at them when they do stuff wrong. A God who's always pointing the finger. A God who's continually disappointed at us when we stuff up. And if you, like me, stuff up every day, that's a lot of stuff to feel disappointed about. So to start us off, I'd like you to do a very short activity with the person next to you. And I want you to imagine the wall behind me is God. So already we're theologically all over the place. And in this corner, I want you to think of a God who is mad at you, cross, annoyed, fed up of the mistakes you make, and just like, ah. Oh. And over this side, you've got a God who is for you, on your side, passionate about you. Whether you've done good or bad, God is always on your side and rooting for you. And just with the person next to you, I want you to say, what is your perspective of God? How do you see God? Are you right over there in that corner? Do you see him right over here? Are you somewhere in the middle? Maybe you want to point to a book, but somewhere on that scale. What is your perception? Not what it should be, but really and honestly, what is your perception of God? Just with the person next to you for 1 minute, go. Okay, then. I hope that was a useful exercise for you to start thinking about how you see God. If you're anything like me, then you will continue to stuff up every day and do stuff that isn't great. I know exactly what I am like. My thoughts, my words, my attitudes towards people. The more I look at myself, the more I think, how in the world could God be pleased with me? My rubbishness is just relentless. And it gets me down. I go from being this bouncy Christian who knows how much God loves me to by the end of the day thinking, how in the world does God keep on putting up with me? I mess up time and again. And we get disappointed with ourselves. And it creeps in that God is probably also disappointed with us. And we end up just feeling bleh about our faith. Does anyone go through that cycle at least once or twice a week? Give me a nod if you go through that. Thank you for giving me a nod. Our perspective of God starts to change. He moves from being this all-amazing, all-forgiving God who's on our side and fighting for us to being a God who, through gritted teeth, is just about putting up with us despite our failings. Because he has to. Because he's God. Tonight, God is not just putting up with you. God is crazy about you. I want to look at how completely and utterly, overwhelmingly and ridiculously on our side God is, even when we don't deserve it, and especially when we don't deserve it. And the answers to a lot of this lie in our understanding of God, our perspective on who he is, how he truly sees us. It's fair to say most of the troubles we have in our Christian faith are due to a wrong or perhaps a wonky perspective of God. Most of the troubles we have in our faith are due to a wrong perspective of God, not understanding how he feels about us. So I want to show you a short and not very riveting video about a basketball. I really didn't realise that I'd kept all the educational stuff at the end of a video. I just meant to show the bit where the basketball dropped off at the end. So there we are, a highly educational video. You drop a basketball straight, it drops down straight. You drop it with a little bit of spin, and it goes off in a million different directions. I really can't say in a more heartfelt way today. If we start our lives with a view of God and how he sees us in the wrong direction, we can end up miles away from the truth. And I want to tell you a story in a bit about someone who did that, who started their life with a view of God in the wrong direction and end up miles away from the truth. If we start off our lives with a view of God and how he sees us and views us and understands us in the wrong direction, we can end up miles away and it can have disastrous effects on our lives. If we don't get into our heads how utterly, utterly God is on our side, then we could be setting ourselves up for a fall. There will be people in this room and people in churches all around England and people who aren't Christians who will have the wrong idea about who God is. And that's because they went off in the wrong direction at the start. And it's usually been based around God being mad at them when they do stuff wrong. So in another unrelated way, I'd like you to ask another question to the person next to you. And that question is this. What would your perfect packed lunch be? Before you start, there's two rules. The first rule is this. You're not allowed any hot food in your packed lunchbox. And the second rule is this. It's got to go in one of them proper old school packed lunchbox, you know, like the square little rectangle type packed lunchbox. So dream big. Like, you can have any chocolate bar you want. There's no school restrictions or rules. What would your perfect packed lunch be in 1.5 minutes with a person next to you? Go.
A whisper melted in.
Okay. All this food talk is making me hungry. I would like to hear from a couple of you about your packed lunches. So put your hand up if you would like to tell me about your perfect packed lunch. Joel. Just the Lindor white chocolate. You'll be sick in the afternoon. Someone else. Let's have a female perspective. Rachel. A tuna. You can have anything in the world and she goes for a tuna sandwich. Ah! Thank you, Rachel, before you go on any more. One more person, come and tell me about your lunch. Yes.
So, yeah, I eat a lot. So, for my sandwich, I would have... this is all cold, right? It is cold. Just cold. All right. Yeah, so I'd have a chicken, bacon and cheese and barbecue sauce sandwich in a brioche bun. That's good. And then I'd have I'd probably have like kettle cheese and onion crisps. Cause I love cheese and onion.
Shut up. This is my one. This is yours.
And then I'd have like some form of like pastry thing, like a sausage roll or something like that. And I'll probably have like a really nice chocolate milkshake on the side. So yeah.
Thank you. That is a very good packed lunch and way better than Rachel's tuna sandwich. How imaginative. Okay, enough packed lunches. So, when I was 10 years old, we moved from our house, where we lived in Longthorpe, to one a little bit further away from our school, which meant it wasn't a short walk to school anymore. And the plan was that my mum and dad would drop us halfway to school in the car, and we would have to walk the rest of the way. And I really wasn't massively keen on this idea. So each day we had to walk up this lane by a field to get to school, and the lane was called Blind Man's Lane. Somewhere near Jack Hunt School. I don't know if it's actually called Blind Man's Lane, but that's what we always called it. And at 10 years old, I was a little bit of a nervous character. I was a little bit scared of people, generally not very confident. And I had an issue with something not hugely uncommon at school. You may have struggled with it too. It was called packed lunch envy. Now, we weren't the richest kids on the block. So it came to lunchtime and kids would turn out with this like monster of a packed lunch. There'd be like a Cadbury's bar of this and Walker's crisps of this and like the fanciest sandwich in the world. And I would be there with my sandwiches and our Sainsbury's own brand label chocolate biscuit. And it sounds a little bit ungrateful now, but I really didn't like my sandwiches very much. I knew my mum and dad tried their hardest to provide for me, and I love you very much. You haven't died, so I don't know why I'm looking up, but if you're ever listening, I love you very much. But in honesty, I wasn't massively keen on my sandwiches. So one day, walking to school, I reached Blind Man's Lane, knowing I had sandwiches I didn't like. So I took them out of my bag, and I threw them into the hedge. Worst crime ever. And I spent the whole day feeling so guilty about it. There my parents had made me a lunch, had tried so hard for me, they probably didn't have money for the fanciest sandwiches ever, and I ungratefully just threw them away. Anyway, I felt so bad about it, and at the end of the day I was walking home with Matt, who can't even remember this going on, and we reached Blind Man's Lane, where I threw my sandwiches away. And I could see three older guys walking towards us along the path. They were about 15, 16 years old. And as soon as I saw them, I knew something was wrong. I knew something bad was going to happen. And we tried to walk past them, and they surrounded us, and they gathered round us, and they said, right, what are we going to do with them? Shall we beat them up? And as a nervous 10-year-old boy, I was absolutely petrified. From memory, Matt was not bothered in the slightest. But I was absolutely petrified. So they gathered round us and said, are we going to beat them up? And then the one who looked oldest said, nah, can't be bothered. Let's let them go. And they let us go, and we walked home. But at 10 years old, I was utterly convinced that I knew what had just gone on. This was God's punishment for me, for throwing away my sandwiches, for being so ungrateful. He sent these people to get me. Now, at 10 years old, I've been to Sunday school all my life. My parents had brought us up as Christians. They taught us the Bible. We'd prayed so much. I had so much Christian input as a kid. Yet I'd somehow grown up with completely the most wrong, untrue, stupid understanding of who God was. I'd seen the God with the big button ready to press it, waiting to get me. A God annoyed at me when I messed up. A God fed up with my badness. And most importantly, a God that had stopped being on my side because I'd done something wrong. how could I have been so wrong? But my view of God affected my whole life. But that was just me at 10 years old. No adult would feel like that, would they? I read a blog the other day from a lecturer in a Bible college in America. And he wrote this blog, and I want to read you a few bits of his blog. It's called, Why Am I Still Convinced That God Is Mad At Me? He said, I've been reflecting lately during some sleepless hours, and I've come to accept something, that I still believe that God gets mad at me. I don't know why, intellectually I reject this, but emotionally I've never fully been free from it. I've always seen Jesus as being good, loving and accepting, but God, I see him as an all-powerful being that's just annoyed at my failings. I'm realising that this thinking doesn't work for me anymore, and it's blasphemy against a loving God. It's actually caused me to want to run away from God, because who wants to run towards someone who's always mad at you? What's even worse is it causes me to see every negative thing that happens in life as being from God instead of the good things. I remember when we first realised we were losing our daughter. The situation quickly went downhill and we knew she would die soon. We were actually doing what God calls pure religion. My job was to care for widows and orphans. But we knew her loss was inevitable. The biggest thought that plagued me was, have I done something to make God mad at me? Did I not try hard enough? Did I have a lustful thought? Did I? It's so messed up thinking. It's broken thinking. Yeah, it's broken thinking that most days my heart can't overcome and I lay awake at 4 o'clock wrestling with it. I still too often feel as if God is mad at me, and when something bad happens in life, I always think he's punishing me. I want to repent of this broken thinking. Too many people have painted a picture of a God who is more like a jealous boyfriend in a drunken rage than a loving God. As a result, our view of God leads us to see every bad thing that happens as a divine punishment from him. So they might seem like two really extreme stories, but they show the importance of getting our viewpoint of God right. Setting the basketball off in the right direction. Starting our relationship with God with a perspective of him that is good and true and correct. God is cheering you on. He's in your corner. He's on your side. And he's got your back. Not only that, but God is completely and utterly devoted to you, just as much when you mess up as when you are doing good. Let's look at something from the Bible to understand this a little bit better. If you've got a Bible, turn to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. It is up on the screen as well if you need it. Well remembered. Okay, so here we go, Jeremiah chapter 32, starting from verse 40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. I will inspire them to fear me so they will never turn away from me. I'll rejoice in doing them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. So this verse was probably written about 3,000 years ago, and you might be thinking, does this really apply to me? It keeps talking about them. I'll make a covenant with them. Well, it wasn't written and posted through the door at Letting Hall this morning, addressed to crops. But it does show us something about the character of God, who he is, what he's like with his people. We're building up a picture of God's character. And so the people he's talking to are called the Israelites. And at this point, I really want you to bear with me due to my own childhood experiences. If anyone ever talked about the Israelites, I just went, ugh, because I didn't really understand what they were talking about. So bear with me. He's talking about the Israelites, and these people had abandoned their relationship with God so many times. I said, no, we're not with you, God. You're not my God. I want nothing to do with you anymore. Let's end this relationship. And they abandoned him. And when things got a mess, they came back to him and said, actually, God, we really, really need you. And then things started going well again. And so they abandoned their relationship with God and said, God, we really don't need you. And they abandoned him and they came back to him. And they abandoned him and they came back to him. And it went on and on and on. And suddenly they find themselves in a mass of trouble. They've been unfaithful. They've rejected God. In fact, they've gone to chosen to worship other gods instead of God. And they come back to him in a whole mess of a situation. And God says these words, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. What does everlasting mean? Lasts forever. Covenant means promise. I'll make a promise with them that lasts forever. I think that's the same for us today. God says, I'll make a promise with you that lasts forever. I will never stop doing good to them. I will never stop doing good to them. How about that for God being on your side? These messed up, unfaithful people who keep rejecting him and running back to him and messing up and running back. And he says, I will never stop doing good to them. He says, I will delight to do good to them. I will take delight in doing good to them. This is not, oh man, these people are doing my head in. They reject me, they want me, they're messing me around. But because I'm God, I'll grit my teeth and I'll put up with it. He says, I will bust a gut to do good to them. I'll make a promise to always and forever be on their side. God is in the business of busting a gut to do good to you. Regardless of what you're like, regardless of what you've done, when we return to him with an open heart and say we're sorry. If you're a Christian here today, then whatever you do, however you've messed up, don't waste your time thinking, how can God love me? I'm so bad. How can I come back to him? He's going to be so mad at me. Remember the words from this passage. I will never stop doing good to you. That's God's character. He's constantly on the side of his people, constantly working for their best, regardless of what they've done. So if God is so for us, then why do we so often think that he's mad at us? What gets us thinking like that? One answer is improving our perspective of who God is. But another is that we live very simply in a spiritual battle. We have an enemy, and it is his main job to make us believe we are not good enough for God to love. That we're not accepted by him and not forgiven by him. That we're not right enough or holy enough or fixed enough. And the enemy will use discouragement as a weapon against you to blind you from having a proper perspective of how God sees you. Who he really is, that he's constantly looking to do good to you. He doesn't want you to see that. And he'll whisper lies to you. Have you heard lies like this before? What, you haven't prayed for a week? There's not much point in starting now. You obviously can't do it. God's not going to be very happy with you. You didn't stand up for God in that situation. There's not much point bothering in the future. God's going to be so fed up of your half-heartedness. You don't know enough about the Bible. Does God really want someone who doesn't know enough? Do you recognize these types of lies? The ones that basically say, God only has your back. God is only on your side when you're doing good things and you're not messing up. What can happen is instead of recognizing the enemy's lies, we question God instead. After a while, we become demotivated and lose more and more interest in our relationship with God until we simply don't bother to pick up our Bibles or spend time with him anymore. This is how the enemy will use discouragement to destroy your relationship with God. God is on your side. He is for you and not against you. As I'm coming towards the end, I want you to imagine with me this completely made up scenario. Imagine you come to me and you say, Cheds, guess what just happened? I was out the front getting some phone signal and a car pulled up and someone drove up to me. They wound down their car window and they threw a rock in my face. how would I react? I'd be horrified. I'd say that's awful. I'd want to hunt them down and find them. We'd have an emergency leaders meeting because this bad person was around. Now imagine you said to me, actually, Cheds, I think it was your brother Matt that did it. I'd say, you sure? And they say, oh, I'm pretty sure it was. What would I do? I know what I'd do. I'd say, Matt is one of the most gentle, kind, peace-loving people I know. He just isn't like that. I've seen him love and look after his kids. I've seen him hold my kids as babies. I've seen him cry when someone died in Home and Away years ago. That's just not the sort of thing that Matt would do. And if you really, really push me on it, I'd have to say, look, at the end of the day, 100%, I've got no doubts. It's mistaken identity. That's not Matt. That's not who he is. It's just not him. He doesn't throw rocks at people. You must not know him properly. You must have a wonky perspective of who he is. As our perspective of God begins to change, as we see how utterly for us he is, how much he is on our side, we start to see the lies that we've told ourselves about him. God doesn't throw rocks at us. He's not out to get us. He's not out to make our life bad for throwing a sandwich in a hedge. It's not who he is. It's not his character. He's not making our life bad for doing things wrong. He doesn't throw rocks at us. He's not frowning down on us when we struggle in our faith. He's completely and utterly for us. Just as much when we've messed up as when we've done good. Most of the struggles we have in our faith are due to a wrong or a wonky view of God. I want to ask you, is this how you see God? Do you see a God who never stops doing good for you? Is that your experience of how you see God? Or have you seen him differently? To finish up, I want to do something to allow us to respond to this. And someone's going to come around and they're going to give you a piece of paper and a pen if you don't already have one. And I want you to write down on that piece of paper a lie that you might have told yourself about God. I'm going to put some up on the screen. I'm going to try. Would you put one up on the screen for me? Keep going. If something about anything that's been said tonight has made you think, actually, I've had a wrong perspective of God somewhere. I've not seen how God is utterly, utterly for me. I thought he was only for me when I did good things. I believe lies about how God sees me. Then I want you just to write down on your piece of paper in the next couple of minutes the lie that you had about God. And then I'm going to come to you and we'll work out what we do next. So if some leaders want to come and help me pass out a piece of paper, and we'll put some music on as we write these things down. Okay, so we're writing down. If you haven't written anything down already, just think, is there a view of God that you had that hasn't been right? Is there something on the screen that radiates with how it feels to you? A wrong view you've held of God? Just write something on your piece of paper right now. Okay then, thank you very much for doing that. What we've got down here is a shredder. And what we're going to do is we're going to shred our lies because they're not true, the things that we've told ourselves about God. And for those of you who are feeling really, really brave, all you need to do is one at a time come up and put your lie in the shredder to shred it. But for those of you feeling really brave, I'd love you to come in and before you put it in the shredder, just to take the microphone and say, actually, I did believe this about God. I did think about this about God. Read out what your lie is and then put it in the shredder. And then the next person can come up and do it. So one by one, if you want to come up, and let's start with the people who feel like taking the microphone and saying, actually, this was the lie that I'd believed. And then we can put it in the shredder. And then after those, we can just go for the people who want to just put it in the shredder, can come and put it in the shredder. Does anybody want to come and start me off? Come on, Mo. If you want to go after Mo, just come and make a little line next to him and stand.
I used to think that I wasn't good enough for God and that God wouldn't love me. Yeah.
I used to think that that I took advantage of God's forgiveness and that I've asked for forgiveness one too many times.
God just loves us and forgives us because he is God and he has to because he says that he's perfect.
I often think that when I sin, God loves other people more than me.
I believed that I had done something wrong, so I told Mum and Dad to ruin my life by moving to England. Now I was helpless.
I believed that God wouldn't forgive all my wrongs.
That God was just fed up with my mistakes.
I believed that God was annoyed at me because I wasn't perfect, even though we're made in his image.
I believed that I'd let God down too many times for him to forgive me.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much.
God won't forgive me for all the things I've done.
Thank you. He will forgive you.
I always used to think that I was such thing as being a good Christian, and I guess as I've grown older, I've kind of realised that there isn't. So, no matter how much you read your Bible or don't, God still loves you. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you.
I believed that God is bitter, and that he left me when I needed him most. But yeah.
Thank you ever so much for sharing that. Okay, for those of you who just want to come and put your lies in the shredder without talking out loud, come and put them in now.
One, two. Okay, we've still got a couple of people who want to read stuff out, so...
God does get disappointed of the bad things we do, but he will forgive us if you pray.
I've got one more here from someone who didn't want to come up themselves, but he said, I wanted to end my life after knowing what I'd done, and I thought God didn't care. That just shows how powerful it is, the wrong views we can hold of God. Would you want someone to believe that that's true, when that's not true about who God is? I wouldn't want that at all. It is amazing who God is. It's amazing that he's so passionate about us. It's amazing that no matter what we've done, he still loves us and cares for us so much. I'm going to invite the band back now, and we'll come and have a bit of time of worship, and just worshiping and celebrating who God is and what he's done for us.